Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
Welcome back. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McEntee, your host. And today we have with us a really, really special author and guest. His name is Dr. Gerald Fishman. He wrote a fantastic book called The Science of Shame and Its Treatment. And we have something interesting because I want to find out, because people talk about shame all the time, but what? How would you define toxic shame, Dr. Fishman?
Well, yeah, okay, but in order to define toxic shame, I have to define shame.
Okay.
Shame lives in our brain in the basal ganglia, in that area we call the limbic system. That is the seat of emotion down by the old part of the brain. And we, 100% of the population, 100% of all of us have shame. Mm-hmm. That is the ability to have shame, which is similar to the ability to have vision or the ability to have hearing or mobility. Shame is one of those. Shame is an affect. It is a pre-feeling, and it lives in this certain part of the brain. Now, I identify toxic shame as the addictions. That is where shame is always operating. It's there 100% of the time, and it informs us of who we are and how we are.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal of my book is to take the stigma and mystery out of shame, and to take, or as I like to say, to take the shame out of shame.
Right.
100% of the world has shame, and about 66% of the population suffers from some form of toxic shame. Those are the addictions, those are low self-esteem, those are the personality and behavioral disorders. And I see that shame, especially toxic shame, is experienced through negative, self-demeaning self-talk.
Mm.
And that is that gnawing, nasty voice in our head that tells us we're not good enough, that we're less than, and it keeps us from feeling good about ourselves.
Of course.
So
right.
My book identifies where shame lives in our brain, and it's to also show the effect of treatments to eradicate toxic shame and create a healthy adult sense of self. And I always start with what Mark Twain had said, that the fear of death follows the fear of life, and a man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time. So it is that experience of living fully that I am so concerned about. I've been a psychotherapist for 46 years in clinical practice.
Sure.
And what I find is that when I get patients that have any kind of addictive process, there's typically a comorbid thing going on, what we call dual diagnosis. So we have addiction on one side and then emotional and personality issues that also must be treated at the same time. And then I find that affirmations don't work in treating toxic shame. Compassion does. Compassion-based therapy treats toxic shame.
That's interesting.
Now, these early wounds, and so where does it come from? And we find that children that are raised in toxic environments, children that have been exposed to violence, who have been abused, who have been abandoned, who mm-hmm. have been negated or in some way treated like they didn't matter or didn't exist, typically develop in life toxic shame. Their shame wounds are present all of the time. We can't eradicate these wounds through Band-Aids, affirmations,
or self-talk.
You know, think better about yourself, because they're really operating at an old, lower level. I don't use the word subconscious because I don't think it exists, but I do think that these wounds are something that we hear all of the time, and my goal certainly is to help eradicate them.
Typically
are our greatest fears. Typically, people who suffer from toxic shame never feel good enough. They fear going crazy, losing relationships.
It's so common people in recovery, right? It's such a common.
Right.
Everybody
Absolutely.
That comes on this show, I'd say 99.9, says they never felt good enough and they never felt like they fit in. You're listening to Dr. Gerald Lauren Fishkin. He's the author of The Science of Shame and Its Treatment. And you can go to Dr. Fishkin's website at www.drgerald.com. Fishkin.com, and Gerald is G-E-R-A-L-D, Fishkin, F-I-S-H-K-I-N.com. And I think this is so important, and it's kind of contrary to what people say, because it's like, you know, like you said, the self-talk, or, you know, give affirmations to yourself, like no one can make you feel inferior without your consent and all these things. But you're right. What is it really doing?
Exactly. I mean, you know, these fears, these thoughts, these beliefs, displeasing someone, being seen as a phony, not mattering, being abandoned, these are, we see that these go hand in hand with toxic toxic shame and negative self-talk. And again, they're not going to be eradicated through, you know, some basic talk therapy. We have to get to the core of the wound, and that is what happened to this individual at what time in their life. And sometimes they've never talked about it. Most of the time, when I have a patient who has, they've actually encapsulated the wound. They've covered it with so many layers, but all they get is that negative self-talk. And the problem with self-talk is that it happens in a closed system. In other words, an open system is like a healthy thermostat in your house. Mm-hmm. It's reading the environment, and it's giving, you know, the appropriate feedback to the system to change the heat. A broken thermostat is like self-talk. That's a closed system, and it just says more heat until the house burns down. Well, toxic self-talk is the same way. It gives us the worst messages over and over and over again.
How
often it happens a day, that doesn't matter. It's the nature of the message itself. They're redundant. They're irrational. They happen in a closed system. But most important, Denise, those messages are not ours. Somebody told us years ago that we're not good enough. Somebody told us that we're not going to be okay. Somebody told us that we're broken.
Or we
Somebody
picked
told
that
us
up,
that we
I
don't
guess,
matter.
Right. Okay, so
That's
I'm
what
gonna,
this is about.
I'm going to lay out a scenario. And again, we're listening to Dr. Gerald Fishkin, who wrote an awesome book about the science of shame. That's what it's called, the science of shame and its treatment. So I'm going to give you like a little scenario. So I, let's say, was abused younger as a child. It caused me a lot of shame. I go to one therapist. He says, you know, gives me affirmations and tells me to do self-talk. But then I go to you. How do you help me work through that?
Well, I'm going to take an intense history, and number one, I'm going to develop a relationship with you that is not like cognitive behavioral therapy, and it's not like my playing doctor to you. I'm going to develop a relationship with you, and what does that mean? We're going to take a long history. We're going to talk like human beings. We're going to get into what happened to you when, because the reason somebody's coming for treatment is not to throw money at me and spend an hour. Mm-hmm. It's to get to where the trauma lives.
Okay, so let's say we found it. Okay, then what?
Now we found it. Now we're going to start talking about it. We're going to write about it. I have one patient who's 45 years old. Mm. When he was 13, 14 through 17, was abused by a neighbor who was 34 years old. And she kept telling him that his genitals weren't big enough and he wasn't a man enough. And he has carried that shame. He has carried that toxic shame. He became a drug addict. He became an alcoholic. He's been in recovery now for the last 2.5 years. I've been treating him for the last 6 months. I've had him write letters to this woman, the abuser, who is now 62 years old. I've had him, when he gets into what it felt like, the tears, the lack of being supported. And all of that, they have to really work through that wound build their sense, a healthy sense of self. Because let's face it, that wound, whatever happened early in life, affects how we see ourselves. And most of the time, it causes an impairment in how functional and how proactive we can be, and especially in meeting one's life's needs. And as I said earlier, you know, we have to live fully, but with toxic self-talk, we're not living fully. We're living in the shadow of ourself, and I call it a shadow existence or a shadow sense of self, but it's not our full sense of self. And I'm sure your listeners can get that. Many of them have never even talked about or expressed the depth of feeling of what happened to them at a certain time in their life. Now, what happens, too, I find, is that there's a breakdown in the relationships, the early bonding relationships. We know now empirically that oxytocin is critically important in the early development of the sense of self. Oxytocin warms our body when we're in a bonding relationship. It happens very early in life. Denise, could happen a day, a week, a month, but it's happening all the time in bonding. Mm-hmm. I get it with my puppy. I get it with my wife when we're looking at each other. I get that warm sense. Alcohol and heroin and some of these other drugs are an attempt to replace that oxytocin, which is gone, which is not being secreted through the posterior pituitary. So what happens is we replace the lack of bonding with another, with a chemical which causes or it helps to cause our addiction, and it reinforces the addiction.
And it happens.
So I am all about first, you know, in recovery, we got to deal with the detox process. We have to deal with getting clean.
Okay, I want to just take one more. Okay, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to go. But I want to tell the audience, and I'm sorry because we could talk forever, to learn more about this fascinating, you know, kind of like different approach to it, but I think it's a great approach to it. Go to drgeraldfishkin.com, get his book, The Science of Shame and Its Treatment. I mean, it's not even just for people in recovery, because I so agree with you. We all have shame. So thank you for joining us on Stepping Out.
Thank you.